How about now?
You're good now.
Okay.
Okay, we have a quorum. I guess we'll go ahead and get started. And we are recording?
Correct.
Okay. Good evening, everybody. This is President of Harris County Mud 136, Neil Polansky speaking. July 9, 2020 Board Meeting of Harris County Mud 136 is now called to order. This video conference and teleconference meeting is being audio recorded per the Texas Open Meeting Regulations and direction from the Attorney General of Texas. Members of the public may request to listen to the audio recording of this meeting after conclusion of the meeting. I hope that everyone is staying well during this time. The board is conducting this meeting via video conference and teleconference to protect the safety of staff, board members, and the public. I'm now going to take a roll call to identify everyone attending this meeting. Please answer present. Barry Greer.
Present.
Brent Phelps.
Present.
Adam Rodriguez.
Present.
Eric Worthington.
Present.
Consultants Rose Montalbano.
I'm here.
Good. Patty Rodriguez. We'll hold out hope that Patty will join us. Bob Wempe. All right, Keith Arant. I know Keith was here.
Yes, he was.
Yeah. Okay, well, it'll be a few minutes before we get to his report. And Jane Mayer, and we have a representative from McCall Gibson.
Joseph Ellis is here.
Okay, thank you for joining us, Joseph. We have a quorum of the board of directors and we'll now proceed. I would now ask for any members of the public or participants of this call that were not named to clearly state your name for the record. Is anybody on a telephone call who has not identified themselves? We ask that you do identify yourself at this time. Okay, all right. To promote order and avoid confusion, I ask everyone to follow these guidelines. Identify yourself each time before you speak. Conclude your comments with the word pass or otherwise indicate that you are finished to pass the conversation back to the group. The president will call roll for each required vote. We'll do that a little bit differently than we have in the past. See, I learned a few things from listening to the West Harris County meeting last night, which was always fun and informative. Okay, we've got the first order, the first item on the agenda is public comments. We do encourage anybody from the public who either has or has not identified themselves so far to voice their comments at this time or any time throughout the meeting. Okay, hearing none. The next item on the agenda is approving the minutes of the meeting of June 11th, 2020. Have the board members had an opportunity to review the agenda, and are there any changes to the agenda that has been posted? Is everybody still with us?
The agenda or the minutes, Neil?
The minutes. I'm sorry. Did I say the agenda?
Yes.
I apologize.
I have no problems with any of the items in the minutes.
Okay. Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes of June 11th?
So moved. Barry.
Adam, second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. All in favor of the motion, state your name and your vote.
Are you going to ask us?
Yeah, I'll probably switch off because I'll forget.
Barry, yes.
Approve.
Adam?
Adam, yes.
Okay.
Brent, yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Neil, yes. The motion carries 5-0. Thank you. Bookkeeper's report, Rose.
All right, Rose is here. If you have my report, if you'll follow along with me, On the front page at the very bottom, I have your cash balances as of today. The average rate of tax pull last month decreased from 0.26% to 0.2165%. Moving on to page two, that's all the activities since last time we met. You dispersed out $113,304.61. Under receipts, you had those four checks that were stale dated and old that we exceeded on the unclaimed property report to the Texas State Comptroller. We also received accounts receivables from your operator for May. On page three, I have your current month activity. All of the checks that I have for your approval today total $48,735.95. I want to point out check number 10164 to Jackrabbit, the CR flood wall. What that means is last month on the April billing for Jackrabbit, there were two charges on the flood wall for the engineering and expenses. One charge was for $1,975.52, and one charge was for $5.80. Our 9.8% portion of that totaled $194.17. Well, on this current billing, Jackrabbit actually gave us a credit for the larger portion, and so they gave us a credit of $193.60. They did not give us credit for the smaller portion of the $5.80, which works out for us a 57 cents. But I just wanted to let the board know that I am tracking that in our budget. And if they don't give us that additional credit, I will reach out to them. I also want to point out ticket number 10169 to our U.S. Treasury. That's our second quarter payroll taxes. And then we had five customer deposit refunds. The next page is your budget to actual. And I have 2 months for you ending May 31st. Your variance on your revenues, you are running under the $6,562, mainly tracking back to your water service revenue and your interest on investments. Under expenditures, I'll just point out to you Jackrabbit wastewater treatment improvements, that 57 cents, that's where that flood wall that I'm looking for that credit. So just to know that that's the line item where I'm tracking the flood wall and any other improvements that Jackrabbit does. Overall, on our expenditures, we're running under the $125,000, and that's mainly tracking back, of course, to our water plant improvements. Overall, on your budget, you're showing excess revenue of the $118,585.76. And then your last page, I have that budget broken down for you into sewer, water, and other. And that's all my news, and if you guys have questions, please feel free.
Rose, you had mentioned that the reimbursement coming for the flood wall was going to be in two checks.
So this is Rose. What I was saying is that I don't believe they should be charging us for the flood wall, and I feel like they realized that, and so they did give us a credit for the larger portion, the $193.60, but there was an additional charge on there of $5.80 on the flood wall. I guess it was on the expenses on engineering, and I feel like we need that credit as well. I know it's just 57 cents, but, you know, we have not agreed to participate in the flood wall. So I am looking for that credit is what I'm saying, and I'll reach out to them not on their next billing.
So what is check 10164 to Jackrabbit of $8,954.36?
So that's their regular May billing. I just noted that they did put that credit back for what they did charge us for the flood wall.
Okay, if that's their regular billing, how come it's notated on your report as the flood wall? Jeffrey?
I just wanted you to know in the memo that there was a credit on that May invoicing.
Okay.
That they did kind of apply that. I just wanted to make note to the board.
Okay. Is there something that we need to do from an audit standpoint to make sure that we segregate any inaccurate or inappropriate flood wall charges from their regular bill?
On my side, I'm going to keep track of that. And honestly, Joseph will be able to follow that from my coding in my book.
Okay.
So it should be fine.
Rose, this is Brent. On that transaction, and Neil pointed out, it's misleading, and you should change that to, you know, Jackrabbit Road expenses.
Okay. I can change that memo. No problem. I just wanted to remember it and tell you guys about it.
Okay, cool.
I would agree with Brent. So thank you for making a modification to that.
Sure.
Are there any other questions or comments about the bookkeeper's report at this time? Hearing none, do I hear a motion to approve the bookkeeper's report, investment report, and authorized payment of bills?
Barry moves, so moves.
Adam, second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. I'll go ahead and call roll and give me your vote. Barry Greer?
Yes.
Brent Phelps?
Yes.
Adam Rodriguez?
Yes.
Eric Worthington?
Yes.
Neil Polansky, yes. Motion carries 5-0. Thank you, Rose.
You're welcome.
All right, Patty, tax assessor collector's report.
Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Can you hear me? Okay, good. All right, so on the first page of your tax report, your taxes receivable total $11,144. Page two has the activity for the month. You had receipts totaling $1,107.93. And disbursements totaling $2,635.47, leaving you with a cash balance at the end of June of $23,656. Next page has the checks presented for payment for July totaling $2,287.14, and will leave you with $21,369.32 once they clear. Next page has your 2019 collection percentage at 99.26. 99% or better for all prior years. Last year at this time, you were at 98.8, so you are doing slightly better than last year. The next page has your taxable values listed for 2019 and all prior years. Your tax rates are shown, and your adjusted levies on the right. Next couple of pages, just your normal stuff you see every month. And then if you scroll down to the very last page, you will see your delinquent list. And as of July 1st, they've all incurred a 20% collection penalty and have your delinquent attorney will start sending out notices and demand letters to try to get these collected. And that is all I have, unless you have any questions for me.
Thank you, Patty. Any questions or comments on the tax assessor collector's report? I think it was pretty cut and dry this month. Do I hear a motion to approve?
This is Eric. Make the motion.
Adam, second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. I'll call the roll on the vote. Barry Greer?
Yes.
Brent Phelps?
Yes.
Adam Rodriguez?
Yes.
Eric Worthington?
Yes.
Neil Polansky, yes. Motion carries 5-0. Thank you, Patty.
Thank you all.
Okay. Item number 5 on the agenda. This is where the fun starts for Jane. She gets to explain everything to us and why this is her fault. All right, the Senate Bill 2, Compliance, Proposed Contract Amendment for Compliance Services, and Take Appropriate Action.
Yes, if you guys remember last month, Patty and I kind of talked about this, that districts will have to post certain like tax and financial information to a website that's accessible to the public. Ideally, we're shooting, I sent you guys an email. When was it? A few weeks ago now, with all the requirements of what would need to be posted. Did you guys get a chance to look at that yet?
Yes.
Okay. So those are the documents that would need to be posted. Ideally, we're shooting to have districts up and running with this information sometime in August, ideally before districts set their tax rates. And so the district has an option of either volunteering Adam to do it for the website, or I know Patty, your company, is offering an amendment, which I've included too. And Patty, feel free to speak more about y'all's contract amendment.
Okay. All right. Is the contract amendment part of Senate Bill 2, or is this just something that I neglected to talk about after Patty's report?
Right, it's related to Senate Bill 2 for their for BLI to.
Okay. All right. So are we going to talk? Go ahead. We're going to talk about the amendment to the contract as one of the ways that we comply with Senate Bill 2?
Correct. If you choose to have us do it, or if, since you have a website and you rather have it on that website, then that's your choice. It's just an option.
I noticed when the requirement from the state legislature came down, what, about a year, maybe 2 years ago, and the requirement that was that districts that have websites have certain information on the website. Is that still the case, or are all public water districts required to have, number one, a website, number two, a website that complies with Senate Bill 2?
So they're not all required to have websites. That's kind of the, I would say that's the way that things are going to probably happen, where MUDs and districts are required to have websites down the line. But for Senate Bill 2, all districts are required to have this certain information on a website. So it just could be your own district website, or if like tax assessors have been offering to post this information on theirs.
So really, from that standpoint, nothing has changed in that if a district does not currently have a website, then Senate Bill 2 doesn't apply to them. But if we do have a website, regardless of who operates the website, we have to comply with Senate Bill 2.
That's right.
Okay. Which is blatantly unfair, I might add. But because there are districts that are part of the Jackrabbit Road treatment plant group that do not have fully functioning websites, and it's unfortunate that that it's like that. But
they're going to have to find a website that is accessible. So if they don't have their own, they're probably going to have to contract with their tax assessor collector.
Okay. All right. Yep. Okay. So tell us a little bit more about the services that you propose under this contract amendment, Patty.
So the contract amendment is basically, the compliance for your district will be part of our responsibility as your tax assessor collector. So this amendment just lists that as an additional responsibility that we would take care of for you. We would link a special page on our website to your district that has all the required information on it. So we have made our website accessible to that link. So we would provide the information required for Section 2618. And the setup fee for some of the districts that we've been working with hasn't been more than a few hours of time. So we don't anticipate any more than less than $500 is what they've been coming in at. It just depends how long it takes for us to gather the data that's needed and to create the link and get it all in there correctly. And then it's just going to be an hourly fee, which is your $110 per hour, which is your consultant fee. And that's going to be as needed. So if the board changes directors and we have to go in there and update that, There'll be some time for that. Anytime that your audit changes, we'll have to change that. Your tax rate season is probably when we're going to see the most charges, just because there's a few things that we do need to go in there and update during that time. Other than that, we don't anticipate much maintenance required on a monthly basis. It's just going to be during those times when there's more activity.
This is Barry. So Adam would simply add a link to our website that jumps our residents over to yours to review any of this?
If you wanted to do that, sure. Yep. I think he does already. He has a link to our website, and any taxpayer that wanted to go and look up your specific district would see a link then there that they could click on and get all this Senate Bill 2 data. You could also have Adam put the Senate Bill 2 information on your website, and you meet the requirements by doing that. It's just some districts that do have websites would rather not deal with it and let us deal with it.
I would prefer that, I think.
Well, it might get more expensive, you know, if you've got attorneys and internet providers and per diems, and it's just easier if we do it. But again, it's your choice.
This, Brent, don't we already have almost all this stuff on our website now?
You have the audit has to be on your website, and of course your contact information has to be on your website. Some of these requirements are not on your website. For example, the three different tax budgets. Not tax budgets. Your operating budgets and the differences for each year, I believe, is what's required on this Senate Bill 2. You need to have when tax rate time comes, you're going to have to list the effective tax rate, the rollback tax rate, the taxes that would be imposed on the property. I'm sorry, this is the wrong section. Let me go back to the right section. That's the appraisal district's database. The amount of property tax revenue budgeted for the maintenance and operations, and the amount of property tax revenue budgeted for debt service, I don't think is currently on your website. So that's probably something that you don't already have. And then it also requires the change in the amount of the budget from the preceding year to the current year. I don't think you're required to have, you have that on your website right now either. But again, that's just a calculation. I mean, you just take 1 year's budget and subtract last year's budget and list that. The maintenance and operations tax rate for the two preceding years. Again, that's not, I don't think that's something you currently have, but it's easy enough to put on there. Debt service tax rate for current year, as well as the preceding year, so that could easily be added if you don't already have it. So it's all data that's available. It's just, you might not already have it on your website, and you might just have to keep track of anytime there's a change, you need to go in there and update it.
Adam, do you have any comments on this?
Well, my question is, if the data is available, and this may be a Jane question, if the data is available within one of the documents, does that not count for satisfying the requirement? I guess, so if we've got all of our past budgets listed in a separate document, is that good enough, or do all of the budgets have to be in one place sitting right next to each other?
To be honest, I don't think they've really made that clear. I think that's kind of more so a preference on how to set that up.
I would think, if I could interject here, I would think that if the Senate bill wasn't passed with the implication that we make it in a user-friendly, digestible kind of way, then perhaps what they're looking for is basically like an executive summary page. If people have to sort of cull through documents in order to get the information that they need, that isn't necessarily user-friendly, but I don't know what the motivation was behind SB 2. I mean, it may or may not be about being user-friendly. Jane, if you've got any clarification on that, would appreciate it.
I mean, I'm not sure.
I think the whole point of it is transparency. So The easier it is, I guess, the easier it is to locate this information, the more transparent it is, which is the whole purpose of Senate Bill 2, or these sections anyway. So what we're doing is when you have us do it for you, we'll have a link that will take the taxpayer to the page that will have all this information already together and on one page that they can just click on and look at every piece of information instead of having to go here and there and look at different bookkeepers' reports and look at different tax assessor collector reports and look at different audits to get all the different information. This is all just all together consolidated on one page.
From a budget and audit, this deal again, from a budget and an audit standpoint, would this be carried as a separate line activities related to SB2 compliance? Would that be carried as a separate line item on your billing?
As far as my billing?
Yes. I would add, the reason I ask that question is, how do we know the true cost of compliance using your company unless it is line itemed out?
It is.
Okay. All right. Any other questions, comments? Adam, do you have anything else you want to get clear on this?
No, I guess my opinion is that we're already uploading all of our documents anyway. It wouldn't be much different. We don't change our budget throughout the year usually. You kind of make one at the beginning of the year and stick to it. So I would have no problem putting the information together and adding a new section to our website that will have Senate Bill 2 compliance or whatever we want to.
I believe me, this is just something that we can do for you if you want us to.
Who would monitor our
compliance? But if you have the ability to do it on your own website.
So who would monitor our compliance? Would it be Patty, your group, or would it be legal through Jane and Norton Rose?
If Adam does it?
Yes.
I would assume we would take some responsibility in making sure that you guys are compliant. And any time that updates need to be made, that we would notify you.
So it appears as though we're going to be incurring some minimal legal costs, even if we do it ourselves. And that is something that we should, because I mean, we want to be in compliance,
right.
And we don't want to put that burden on Adam. He's basically our webmaster. I don't think we're not paying him to, provide that kind of expertise for us, nor do I think he wants it. You want to see, I will forward the option of maybe trying to do it ourselves for a year and then revisiting this next year.
This, Brent, I think that's a great idea. I think almost all of this stuff that they've listed already is on our website. And all we need is a checklist. Somebody give us a checklist of everything that needs to be there. And Anyway.
Any other comments from the board?
Well, I think if Adam, if we do it on our website, the Sperry, Adam, the website needs to have, I guess, a tab or a location for compliance items. Somebody can go and visit that
site. Adam, if you want, I can send you a couple of examples of districts that have used their websites.
Sure, yeah, that would work.
Okay. This is Eric. Adam, do you want to do this?
I have no problem doing it. I think, it, like I said, we set it up the first time, and it, well, I think will be very, after the first time, I think it will be pretty easy to do from now on.
Okay, sounds good.
Plus, if we keep this, Neil, again, if we keep it on the agenda, or we put it on the agenda next July or August or whenever, Adam can provide us with his feedback on whether or not it's been too big a project for him, or, you know, just his status for that. Okay, so is there anybody on the board who believes that we should engage Patty's firm on this? Okay, well, we'll leave it status quo, Patty. We may engage your company.
That's no problem. Thank you. We'll send out. So we're doing it on site.
All right, well, we'll do it on site. Do I have, yes, is somebody else? Okay. All right, so that requires me, is that correct?
Did I miss something, Neil?
That requires no action, correct?
Right.
Okay. All right. Let's move on. Did we take a vote on the tax assessor collector's report?
Yes.
We did. Okay. Neil, did you get my checks? I'm sorry.
Yes, I did.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Patty.
Thank you.
Approved audit for fiscal year ended March 31. Mr. Ellis.
All right. Good evening, everybody. Joseph Ellis with McCall Gibson. See, you have a copy of the audit report. I'm going to assume that everybody looked over it this weekend, so I'm just going to give a brief presentation. If you scroll to pages 1 and 2 of our report, this is the audit opinion. We're issuing a modified opinion, which is a clean opinion. It's the same audit opinion received in the past, no different. After that, there's a summary on pages 3 through 6. I recommend you reading these few pages here. After that, if you can scroll to page 9 of our report. There we go. Page 9 is the statement of activities, also known as your income statement. If you look at the first column, you can see for the fiscal year, the district collected total revenues about $1,620,000. Moving down that column, you see total expenditures for the year came in about $1,392,000. Which resulted in an increase to your fund balance about $228,000, giving you an ending fund balance about $2,388,000 in your general fund. Good, healthy fund balance for the district. After that, pages 11 through 23 are the notes. All the notes are the same as last year, with the exception of one note on page 23. I'll point that out. There we go. Note number 14, right there at the bottom, uncertainties. Due to COVID-19 and the impact of the global pandemic, we're uncertain on how this will impact the district. So we've added this note here for the reader of the financial statements. We've added this to all of our MUD districts, ESDs, anybody collecting property tax, sales tax, whatnot. Feel free to read this. Jane, if anybody from your office has any comments on this or wants to change some of the wording, please let me know.
Okay.
And then after this, if you scroll to page 25. One more page. There we go. Page 25, this is the budget to actual comparison for the general fund. If you look at the far right column, there's a variance column. For the fiscal year, the total revenues came in about $17,000 more than what you had budgeted. Moving down that column, you can see total expenditures came in under budget by about $722,000. The majority of this was your repairs and maintenance, your water plant electrical improvements. You only had a small amount spent on that in 2020. So in the end, your total fund balance was about $739,000 more than what you anticipated during the budget process. Okay. And after that, is this information required by the TCEQ? Everything that's required to be there, we have included. And I'd be happy to answer any questions concerning the audits.
Thank you, Joseph. Anybody on the board have any questions about the audit after you've had a chance to review the draft?
It's Adam. We provide drainage services for the townhomes. Is that right?
Patio homes.
Patio homes.
You provide drainage for?
Page 27, it was checked.
Yes. Okay.
Was that us or the HOA that provides? HOA provides the streets for the patio homes. I wasn't sure if we provide any drainage services.
You do. You provide drainage for...
Heath, can you speak to that?
Yes, sir.
It is. It's the patio homes, sections yeah. 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, so if you guys recall, I mean, several years ago, we made, I mean, we've made repairs to storms, to some of the storm sewers in the patio homes. So my understanding is that they are maintained by the district, whereas everything else obviously is maintained by the county, owned and maintained by the county.
Okay, that was my question.
Okay, any other questions or comments regarding the audit? Okay, hearing none. So this is where we approve the audit, and then you provide us with signature copies.
That's correct. If you approve it, we will finalize this in the next few weeks, and then we'll send over final signed audit reports.
Okay, as well as providing a digital copy for upload to our website.
I take yes, it. Sir. Absolutely.
Okay, very good. Do I hear a motion to approve the audit for the fiscal year ended March 31, 2020?
So moved, Adam.
This is Eric, second.
Okay, we have a motion and second. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor, I'll call roll. Barry Greer?
Oh, we may have lost him.
Barry gone. There's looks like.
And we lost Brent as well.
Brent's there.
I'm here.
Oh, sorry. You took your. Sorry.
Okay, there's Barry. You're muted, Barry.
Okay. Did everybody get kicked off?
Okay, we're taking a vote on the audit.
It and froze.
Barry Greer?
Yes. Approve.
Brent Phelps?
Yes.
Adam Rodriguez?
Yes.
And Eric Worthington?
Yes.
Neil Polanski votes yes. Motion carries 5-0. Thank you. Appreciate it, Mr. Ellis. All right. Is Bob with us? Bob Wempe. Bob is not with us. Okay, maybe he'll join us. Jane, did you get any information that Bob would or would not be here tonight?
No, I did not.
Okay, all right. Well, then y'all received the engineer's report. We'll just look at it again. Schedule from the contractor. There should be some field activity starting this month. And the completion date is December 28th of this year. Substantial completion date is November 27. So that's my engineering report. That's all I have. I think Bob will speak to a couple other things when he gets here. Bob, are you here? Okay, let's move on. Agenda item number 8, discuss Jackrabbit Road, PUD, district matters, and take appropriate actions. I don't know that there is anything on Jackrabbit. Does anything that anybody wants to speak to in regards to JRPUD? Okay, moving forward. MOC's report. Keith, number 9.
All righty, good evening.
Hello.
For the month of June, show you at 1,078 connections. 5 of those being vacant, received $89,300.96 in revenue. Your well produced 3,584,000 gallons, received 11,250,000 gallons from the authority. Total production 14.8 million. Build out 14, just shy of 14.2, accounted for 96% of the water. Beneath that, your aid receivables, again, fairly good shape there. Bulk of that being current 30 day, obviously. Just keep in mind that over the last several months, we've stopped short of termination in light of COVID-19. Still, you know, 136 has proven to hold up fairly well. When we get to your cutoff list, you'll see that it's a little bit lengthier than what we did see pre-COVID-19, but not any real negative effects just yet. There are no leaks in the district. We took the 4 bacteriological samples, and those results were good. Flip to the second page there. That's the historical water production and accountability history. Again, showing you the well production and the surface water received there towards the bottom, showing you 96% for the current period. Page following that is a summary of our invoice, along with the invoices that were sent to your bookkeeper for direct payment. Fairly quiet there. That Enviro Services, they've done a fair amount of work in 136 over the years. If you guys recall, they just do rear easement, sanitary sewer repairs, install hand excavation. Following that, your commercial usage, really nothing else to report to you other than obviously we're seeing an uptick in consumption as we continue to plow through the hot summer months. Following that's the log sheet for your water plant. Again, showing you the production by day, both from your well and surface water received. So this is kind of what we typically see during the summer, just to remind you all. Obviously, the surface water is set to run as your lead supply. If the level within the GSTs was to continue to drop, your well will run in lag to supplement any sort of needed supply.
Is that why the production for that period there's about what, a week and a half, 2 weeks that it really, you pumped a lot of water out of the well, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, just keep in mind that, you know, that's all, you know, the West Authority can sit at a computer and dictate how many gallons per minute they're going to give us. And so I don't know what all's going on across all of West Authority, you know, if they have an issue, you know, or if there's some sort of supply issue where they're having to send more water to someone else that may be on interconnect or a well's down or something like that, you know, they're going to feather us back a little bit. And the byproduct of that is that your well's going to kick in more than maybe it would have otherwise. But this is what we typically see in this type of, you know, these months of the year. And if you go back to that second page of the report, you know, you'll see that, I mean, in fact, we're in pretty decent shape in comparison to where we've been also in other months and years past, you know.
Yeah, I noticed that production last year was considerably more.
Yeah, I mean, we're walking into the thick of it here. You know, we'll see how the numbers look next month. But, I mean, this time last year, I guess – my report next month, the equivalent would be 10 million gallons produced from your well. So we're still a fair amount shy of that.
Okay.
page following that, your unpaid list. Again, a little bit longer than what you guys are used to seeing. There's a couple of balances on there that are, again, larger than what we're used to seeing. Yeah, just as an example, account there, 39. I mean, that's the one that jumps out at me, owing just over $1,000. It's the product of several months of non-payment, as well as a fair amount of consumption. That particular customer had a couple of – they had a 45,000-gallon bill, and they had a 50,000-gallon bill mixed in throughout this pandemic. So that's you know – I've got no concern in regards to dollars outstanding today, just because, like I said, 136 has held up fairly well. My only concern is that, you know, if we don't begin to pursue having these folks at least enter into some type of payment arrangement, you know, we're just going to see these balances continue to balloon, and we may find ourselves, you know, it's going to become more of a problem for the customer to get back square.
I can, this is Brent, and I can tell you that line 39, that guy's moved out. That house is vacant. And if it's using any water now, it's leaking in their pool drain.
It's a problem. I'll look. I mean
that, I live – that's two houses from where I live.
And yeah, Keith, you may want to check the meter, see if it's running.
Yeah, no, I will. I mean, you know, that's the unfortunate thing is that if a customer doesn't call to notify us that they're selling or moving or leaving, the account stays open and services stay on. I mean, if you guys are telling me that the home's vacant, whether they've terminated services or not, we'll go ahead and at least cut water off so we don't keep generating a bill.
Yeah, my understanding is that they're gone forever. They have moved out all their stuff. The house is vacant.
Okay.
The guy lost his job.
I'll look into that first thing.
And you might try check the meter on number 40 as well. He's the house right down, two houses down on the corner from me.
Sure.
I know they've been gone for 5 months.
I'll take a look.
And I don't know that his bill has changed that much. But we ought to check the meter, see if it's running.
Sure. I'll do it.
Yeah, that heat and drive, you can tell it the grass is about a foot tall. And he said he couldn't afford to cut his grass.
Is that right on the corner, Brent?
Yes.
I've seen that. Yeah.
The grass is really tall.
Yes, it is.
Barry, tell me again, what was the account you were referring to?
Number 40, David Olivo.
Okay. I'll take a look.
All right.
As far as the written report, that's really all I have. Just a couple of other follow-up items from last month. One is you guys asked me to get a number together to paint the hydrants. It's been a fair amount of time, probably 7, maybe 8 years since we've done that last. You've got 109 hydrants. You're looking at about $5,200 to come out. They'll prep them, paint them. They'll grease all the caps. If they're missing a reflector in the street, they'll install the reflector. But it's about a $5,200 deal to prep and paint what's there. Let's see. The fountain. And Neil, I know I told you at the last meeting that I thought I'd have it in my hands come tonight. And that's proven not to be the case. I called them today trying to kind of rattle their cage a little bit and figure out what's going on. And I'm about – they're telling me 10 to 15 days out. So if that changes, I'll call you. And then the sanitary sewer, the flow metering system, this kind of most recent spike, if you will, with the COVID kind of threw some of that off. I'd had several meetings with them in the field as well as conference calls, kind of nailing down when and where all that's going to be installed and how we best utilize the system. I think I told you all last month, the only hangup today, I don't know that it's a hangup, but we're just trying to confirm that we've got free flow or free fall, if you will, into that manhole just outside of the lift station so that we don't construe any sort of the data that the system may collect. But again, I think we're a week or so away from hopefully having that in and behind us. I don't know when it was, but probably a week or so ago, Barry and Brent had contacted me in regards to – actually, there was an email that had come out, I think, from the men's group in regards to a sinkhole there near lift station 2. I opened up the manhole. There was obviously INI or influent infiltration that was entering into the manhole. We've since dye tested that manhole just to confirm, I think, what we already knew. And that was one of the pictures that I emailed out this afternoon. All the green dye, that's the indication, obviously, that we've got water coming from outside of that manhole into it. Really what that confirms to me is that the fix is not just merely grouting the manhole on the interior. We're going to have to expose the exterior of the manhole and grout interior and exterior. Got to coordinate with center point. There's a power pole right near that manhole that's leaning already. And so we'll need to coordinate with them to make sure that they're on site to bolster that thing up prior to excavation. We also had the line televised, again, just to make sure that the manhole was the only culprit. So if you were at that manhole, if you were to run east, there's a 10-inch sanitary sewer line that dead ends almost back near those baseball fields. So about 80 foot from that manhole, so towards the very tail end of that line, that's that puncture. That's the other email or the other picture that I sent late this afternoon. So two separate issues, two separate repairs, both of which obviously need to be addressed. That's all in the works. We've called in the locate, trying to get all that scheduled. I'll probably end up doing the puncture first down towards the tail end just because we're not going to have as much conflict with center point, and then we'll coordinate on the manhole.
What is the puncture? What's the cause of that? Is it?
I have no idea. I'll probably have a better feel once we get the hole open.
It looks pretty gross, actually.
Yeah. A lot of that is a lot of that's probably roots that are beginning to enter into that line looking for moisture. But that's probably the bulk of what you're seeing. But yeah, I'm not certain how that happened, to be honest with you. But we'll dig that up, and I mean, if I see something, I'll let you all know.
This is Neil. Could that be one of the sources for some of our infiltration?
Absolutely, yes, sir. Absolutely. Both of the issues identified there are culprits.
Well, that's examples of the infiltration that we're having.
Yeah. So, and to kind of dovetail from there, you know, Brent had sent over some good information related to electricity usage, rainfall. And, you know, I think the data there would indicate that there's influent infiltration. In addition to that, this last go round, over that last, you know, fairly decent rain event, we had a handful of customers, and this has not happened, at least since I've been around 136, that were on the dead ends of these cul-de-sacs that had, they weren't backups, but did have some type of interruption of service, just because that's the high point of the line. So if and when a line becomes charged, that's going to be the first place that sees it. And so that's concerning to me, and I don't know the exact cause. You know, my first thought is INI. So with that, you know, and I mentioned it in my email in response to Brent's email earlier today, is, you know, there's several ways that I think you can go about doing that. I think, you know, one of which is you can televise the lines and you're looking for voids and everything else. The other option is, like I mentioned in the email, is to smoke test, which is essentially, obviously, it's a non-toxic smoke that you would pump into manholes. And any type of connection that's, you know, any sort of break, void, illegal connection, anything like that, smoke's going to come to the surface. The benefit of that is that, you know, if there's any sort of joint defect, if I was to TV the line, there may be a small joint defect that maybe allows some sort of rainwater or stormwater to enter the system. It's going to be tough to maybe pick that up with the camera, with the smoke test. If there's a void and the smoke can pass through it, it should come to surface. The only problem with smoke testing is you got to find the right time to do it. If it's wet, if the ground's saturated, you're not going to get good results. It's going to hold a lot more smoke than it would otherwise. So we've got to catch it when it's good and dry. And so we may have to phase some of this in, depending upon whether to, you know, go about it. As far as numbers, I don't have those yet. I need to work with Bob. And also what I'll do is I'll probably end up just sending y'all's overall, because some of the line size will dictate pricing. And so there's several folks in town that do it. The one that we typically use is SourcePoint. They've done work out in 136 in the past. I'll probably start there. And, you know, depending upon what we see, you know, if we need to shop a couple others, we certainly can. And I'll hopefully have numbers.
Keith. So this is Bob, Neil, this is Bob Wimpy. So I was on the meeting. I was muted. I didn't know that. I thought I was just muted on my phone. So I'll chime in. I agree with Keith. I think the smoke test is probably better than the televising, because the televising, you're not going to see the illegal connections there. So I do think that's the best approach at this point. So he and I can get together and we can work on that and figure out some pricing. And then we can, after he's done, we can skip back up to my report if you want to. But I apologize. I've been on the phone call the whole time. I just didn't realize Zoom had muted me, and I'm here.
Welcome, Bob. We understand. Did you have so we're going to hear from both of you guys after you get together to give us a better idea of what this diagnostic work on the sewer system is going to take?
Yeah, I mean, my thought is that I think, you know, at our next meeting, I'll have at least one, if not multiple proposals that would, you know, we would smoke test the system. You know, if y'all want to, you know, if y'all want to wait, you know, until we know more with this monitoring system with the country club, that's fine. But, you know, that's probably at least a 6-month window. And so it may be prudent, you know, to kind of begin working that issue on both ends to see if we can't tighten things up. So my thought is I'll have numbers for you guys next month. We can kind of proceed from there.
So this is Brent. I mean, I think smoke testing sounds like a great idea. Is this something that you would do like one street at a time, or you do the whole subdivision in one task, or one? Is it by sections, or
yes.
How much is done at once?
Yeah, so it's going to somewhat depend upon just the configuration of the lines, the line size, everything else. So, no, it's not just a once for all deal. I mean, we're going to have to move throughout the system. You know, what we can do, and what I'll try to do whenever I get numbers or pricing on this, is if we can kind of parcel it out as to how we think this work will progress. You know, if we do, you know, 10, 15, 20% of the collection system within 136 and it all seems tight and there's not a whole lot of issues that are showing, then we can kind of contemplate, hey, do we continue to you know, proceed on, you know, to proceed down the route. You know, hard to say. I mean, that's just me stealing logic from, you know, whenever you do a sanitary sewer survey, oftentimes, you know, you TV portions of it. If you see things that are concerning, then that gives you cause to look at more. But I'll try to, like I said, I'll try to have it priced out to where we can maybe bite off chunks at a time if that's in the best interest of 136.
This is Barry. Are there area district that might be more prone to infiltration? I mean, the older sections of the district, the lines that have deteriorated the most.
Potentially,
I mean, does it make sense to start there rather than?
Yeah, I mean, potentially. I mean, we're afforded somewhat of the luxury, and not that we did. You know, if you guys recall when we first came on, however many years ago that was, you know, y'all were right in kind of the midst of the sanitary sewer rehab, and so a lot of that was done, you know, pre us, and then we finished up a few, you know, a fair amount of that. And keep in mind that was all primarily just point repairs, where we had, you know, through the survey you had identified, hey, there's a belly in the line here, or there's a collapse here, or there's root intrusion here. So we're not going through and addressing, you know, 100 foot of pipe at a time. We're addressing specific areas or locations. So we're afforded that luxury in that relatively recently, within the last, you know, 8-10 years, we've done some rehab work. But yes, I think it's wise or prudent to at least, you know, we can focus on some of the older stuff. You know, another thing, you know, kind of a low hanging fruit, if you will, in regards to I&I is, you know, if there's manholes that are low lying, and if you get a fair amount of rain, they've got an inch of water on top of them, and we do this kind of on an ongoing basis to try to identify those. And we put, there's a plastic disc that you can set just underneath the lid of that manhole that essentially just prevents standing water, you know, essentially prevents the sanitary system from being a storm drain.
Right. Yeah, this is Bob. And so a lot of our sewers, too, it's rear lot. And so a lot of them probably are at grade or below. And so I think Keith's got a good point there that you could add that in there as a support system. And then also the material, Barry, talking to you about the age of the different sections, everything's so old out there in the material. This was truss pipe.
Yeah.
And so it's old. And so I don't know that we would focus on any one, the older sections. I think we would look at the larger diameters probably to begin with. But a lot of those have been videotaped. You know, we've gone through about three or four phases of point repairs. I'd have to go back and look through my files to see what's been done, but I think we started with the older sections when we were starting to look at that. But anyway, so I think I just think it's the pipe material is going to be very questionable. It's not PVC. So Keith's got a good point. Is, you know, we've got some things going on, but with the manholes and in the rear lots, people fill up their yard, they put landscaping around, and you could very easily have ponding over the tops of those manholes. I think that's a good point by Keith.
So my question would be, this is Neil, would be whether or not smoke testing helps to identify those depressed or lower than grade manholes.
It can. You know, so if you guys recall, even, you know, whenever we were trying to locate the manhole there on the south side of Clay, that was one of the ideas that I threw out, was that we could smoke test it. You know, if it's, which I doubt that they are, but I mean, if it's buried 3-4 foot, you may not see it. If it's a foot or, you know, six inches, 12 inches under grade, good chance you're going to see the smoke. And so, you know, it also serves the benefit of us identifying manholes that maybe have been buried. We can raise them to grade and, you know, just provides additional access.
Okay. So, so you're going to come back next month. You're going to, discuss this issue with Bob and Keith. And we'll, move forward on, some kind of plan to attack, this issue of INI. Brent, do you have anything else to add since you were up front on this, at least today?
No, nothing else to add except I think it's a great idea, and, you know, moving forward, and I hope we can. You mentioned we have 109 fire hydrants. Well, how many manholes do we have? And what's the name of each one? And when was the last time each one was inspected? And so we have a list of them. As we check them, then we can document those that are in what condition, whatever they are.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, typically whenever we do the smoke testing, they're out there, and we've got a GPS camera that locates, which I guess pretty much every cell phone is that now, but. We've got a camera that geolocates these manholes. We've got a little dry erase board where we'll write the address and everything else. And so we'll have good documentation of manholes and you know, problem areas and everything else. So I think there'll be lots of benefit that will be derived from it.
Keith, this is Bob. And so we've got overall mapping out there, and we've got the manholes numbered. So you can do the GPS thing on it, but we've also got a manhole number on it that you can tag to that when you do it.
Yes, sir.
This is Barry. Keith and Bob, is this something that you're going to make a list up of problem areas, or will there be situations where it might be so critical that you might want to go ahead and get some kind of repair done at that point, at that time?
Somewhat unknown. What I anticipate Barry, and again, this is Keith, is that we would do similar to what y'all did when you did the sanitary sewer rehab, and that we're gonna identify areas of problem, you know, that are an issue, and we'll try to somewhat evaluate those and grade them, if you will, as to severity.
Okay.
And then, you know, if we've got 20 different issues and each one's 15 grand, which I'm just making up numbers, you know, we may want to budget in a certain amount of money on an annual basis that we kind of are able to work within, and that may dictate how many we perform in a given fiscal year.
Okay.
I agree. Are we in agreement? I take it we're not going to need, we can approve the fire hydrant rehab project as part of the operations report?
Yes. Keith
or Jane? Okay. All right. Any other questions or comments in regards to operations or any of the other topics that we talked about? Is everybody in agreement that we can move forward with the fire hydrant rehab as well, and also with the meter placement that'll monitor PFCC?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Do I hear a motion to approve operations, authorize repairs, and not terminating services at this time?
This is Barry. Make the motion.
Adam, second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. I'll go ahead and call roll. Barry Greer?
Yes.
Brent Phelps?
Yes.
Adam Rodriguez?
Yes.
Eric Worthington?
Yes.
Neil Polanski, yes. Motion carries 5-0. Thanks, Keith.
Sir, thank you.
Okay, the item rate order. Unless anybody is chomping at the bit to do something with that, we'll let that skate for another month. Report on West Harris County Regional Water Authority monthly meeting, related service and construction issues. Eric, you were there, right?
Yes, sir.
Did you enjoy it as much as I did?
I thought the one part, of course I did. The one thing I thought was interesting was when they were actually discussing the rate order, just because they were commenting on it publicly. Normally everything is rubber stamped when it gets to their board meetings. So it was interesting. That's all I can say.
Yes, they also approved a $150,000 plus contract for a company that was going to evaluate their bookkeeping system. You know all those billions of dollars that they control? Now they're going to be evaluated to see whether or not they're doing a good job of taking care of our money. So anyway, I thought... Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. The one thing I was going to say is they brought up a different website that I think we should link to. It's called surfacewatersupplyproject.com. It boils down a lot of what's going on in the WICRA page. I'm not 100% sure why they have a second website for it, but it makes it a little bit more digestible for the overall scope of the project. And I think we should add that to our links page on our website. It doesn't hurt. And they will be eventually getting to our segment, which is segment C, before too long. They're soliciting bids right now for the 84-inch line. So I think we should both link to it on our website and make note of it in our next newsletter that construction is coming. We just need to start raising awareness now.
And we need to hold their feet to the fire as far as publicizing their intent to begin construction, because if we don't hold their feet to the fire on this, and by their feet, I mean the West Harris County Regional Water Authority, they're going to basically let it go until the MUD has to field all those questions from angry folks who live adjacent to the waterline construction. So I think between now and the time they start construction, it's very important that we have a presence either physically or online at their meetings.
I would even make a note that I don't know if this has been done before, but do a directed email, or sorry, not an email, but an actual letter to those homes that are along the easement, just to let them know, yes, this is coming. Yes, it's going to be a pain. It's not going to be quick. And just be as proactive as we can in letting them know in advance what's going to happen.
Well, and we also, and this is Neil, we also have to keep in mind that West Harris County has a predisposition to contact homeowners associations sometimes rather than going through MUDs. And they may actually, when it comes to notifying adjacent homeowners, they may choose to go through homeowners associations rather than MUDs. And again, it's our responsibility as MUD board directors to make sure that we have every bit of the information before they start contacting people in the district. Okay, anything else that you, of note at that meeting, Eric, that you can remember?
No, sir.
Did you get a sense of about how long it will be before they start coming through the district? This is Barry. No.
We didn't hear anything last night. From what I've heard, it's probably looking at 18 months. Because they have to, I don't know if they're going to do segments. Maybe if Bob, if you're still there. I don't know if Bob, I guess maybe Bob's not here anymore. I don't know if they're going to hopscotch with their development based on contracts and when they can fulfill those contracts, or whether they're going to try to build them, you know, in a domino fashion from the repump station. So, when we get more clarification on that, we should know a better, start time for construction. But I would put it at least 12 months and maybe 18 to 24. Okay. Item number 12, designation of representative for AWBD Simply Voting. Jane, is this something?
Yeah, this is, so we're putting this on our agendas. You all have the opportunity, if you all would like, to vote for AWBD trustees, and Simply Voting is just the platform that they're using. With voting, you vote as a board, so you designate one person to vote on the board's behalf. So if you guys would like to designate somebody, whenever we receive that information, we can pass that along to whichever board member you all would like.
And what would we be voting on?
AWBD trustees.
This is Neil. I do not want to do it.
That is fine by me.
Somebody else can do it.
You guys aren't required to vote. It's just that if you want.
Well, I think we should have a rep. So does anybody want to take on this really tough task? I'm not seeing anybody. Barry, you look like somebody who can do that.
I'll do it.
Okay. Barry Greer volunteers. Do we have to vote? Does this have to be a vote to designate Barry Greer as our rep?
Yeah, you can make a motion for that.
Yeah, I so move that Barry Greer be designated as a representative of 136 for AWBD Simply Voting.
Adam, second.
Okay, motion and second. I'll call the roll. Barry Greer.
Yes.
Brent Phelps.
Yes.
Adam Rodriguez.
Yes.
Eric Worthington.
Yep.
Neil Polansky, yes. Motion carries 5-0. Thank you, Barry.
Okay. Jane?
Yes.
Help me here.
Cameron? Well, Barry, you technically don't have to vote if you all don't want to, but...
Oh, I don't mind if it's just simply voting.
Yeah, there you go. Yes, whenever we get that information, I'll send it to you, and if there's anything complicated, I'll walk you through it.
Okay.
All right, trash and recycling operations, item number...
By the way, may I interrupt real quick here? Mm-hmm. This is Barry. I just had an email pop up from AWBD about the summer. It's going to, of course, everybody knows it's going to be done virtually now. But they give the all virtual attendees fee of $179. So we can do it online.
I was already signed up for it.
So we'll...
For the in-person... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Will people who paid full price be getting a reimbursement, or the districts be getting a reimbursement? Do you know, Jane?
To be honest, I don't know if people are getting reimbursements or not.
So, Eric, you said that you paid full price.
I signed up, and the bill was sent to the board or to the district. So I didn't pay anything. Yeah.
Okay.
So we need to talk with Rose.
Yeah. Why don't you email Rose and ask her that question?
Will do.
I signed up too, and I thought I saw an email saying they were refunding everybody, but I can't remember for sure.
Okay. All right. So the new fee is what, $179? Okay. And you still get all that great swag, huh?
That's right, it says. Get a swag bag filled with exciting promotional items.
All right. Okay, discuss trash and recycling operations. Anything... any community-related information, complaints, kudos that we've heard regarding either of those?
None other than, this is Barry, than what was circulated in Next Door from that person that said one trash truck picked up both recycle and regular trash.
This, Neil, I think that confusion is understandable, being that I've seen them, you know, utilize the same, exactly the same looking, same color and design trucks for both recycling and trash. So
different people.
It's understandable. All right, moving forward, the recycling event. Eric has asked. Eric has volunteered to do this work for us, take it over for Jay Singleton. Can you give us kind of a status report of where we are on that, Eric?
Yes, sir. Generally scheduled for October 24th, 9 to noon, I believe. I have received the sheet from CompuCycle of what they're going to accept this year, and I forwarded it to both Jay and Neil. Jay said that it's more than he expected that they would accept. I now have to go back and confirm with CompuCycle that they are not bringing a truck out that our Texas, whatever it's called.
Texas Pride
will be doing the delivery. And I just have to also double check to make sure that we have out clauses for both inclement weather and for pandemics. So it is, everything is lined up at this time. I'm not sure, other than contacting CompuCycle back to make sure they understand what we're doing, although it's exactly what we did in previous years, so it shouldn't be a surprise, but it's my first time, so I just need to make sure everybody's on the same page. And then Jay told me I need to contact the HOA to let them pencil it in and make an announcement now, and to also get a confirmation from the men's group that they will be there to help assist. And I believe that's it.
Yeah, I would ask that the HOA put off making any kind of advance announcement until we actually have agreements in hand. Keep in mind, too, that there are several items. So to be clear on this, CompuCycle is the actual recycler, but Texas Pride is going to provide the personnel and the vehicle that will transport the recycling to the vendor.
Correct.
And there's a separate vendor that'll be a shredder, the shredding company.
No, that's Texas Pride. We'll bring out a shredding truck.
Oh, they have one.
That's my understanding. I'm looking at my email now. It's buried in here. Let's see. Oh, no, that's CompuCycle.
Well, we can get clarification on that, and you can send that clarification to me and or the rest of the board. I just want to be real sure. I want to be, have you circulated the recycling list to the rest of the board?
Not yet. I can do that right now.
Okay, I'd like you to do that because there are several items that the recycler is taking, but they are charging a fee for.
Correct.
And we are being charged 15 cents a pound. Is that what it is? 15 cents a pound for all recycling?
Yes, I believe so. Here, let me send this out.
So it looks like this event could cost us, end up costing them $1,200, $1,400. Which I think is reasonable. But I think part of our advance notification and publicity needs to include information about what people need to pay for in order to get recycled and how they would pay for that.
Now, so we would charge residents for items that carry a fee?
Well, that's what CompuCycle has on their rate sheet.
All right, I just sent this out. I was under the understanding that the mud picked up anything that was dropped off, but I haven't participated since I moved to this neighborhood, so I'm not 100% sure how it's worked in the past.
For instance, the one that I can remember is they are charging X amount for CRTs. Either they're not picking up CRTs or they are charging... forget about CRTs, printers and scanners are also charging a fee.
Right, 25 cents per pound.
Per pound. Oh. It's my understanding that in the past, you may want to check with Jay, but my understanding that the MUD did not pay that fee.
Okay.
Maybe we did.
Okay, I'll double check.
Okay. And check on that shredding issue and see if Texas Pride is providing that service.
Yes.
Haven't we had a lot of people outside the subdivision coming in the past?
I don't know how you would.
I mean, I believe we have. And, well, if we end up charging, it doesn't matter. But if we end up picking up the bill, then we need to have them show their
driver's license.
Their Deerfield card, driver's license, or something.
Or utility bill.
Yeah.
I mean, if we end up charging, you know, now I'm not then I think it's fine to be a regional event. And I think that those people outside the district, it may end up costing quite a bit.
I think we can assume that if they're charging for specific items, they're going to have a scale there. Or else they will have a scale at the recycling company, and they'll weigh things there and then provide us with a bill, in which case it sounds like the mud pays for it. So, yes, we do need clarification on that, Eric. Okay. Anything else, Eric, that you want to bring to our attention on that, on the event? Make sure we get it in writing, not in pencil, in ink, from the Homeowners Association.
Okay. So I would talk to Eric about that then?
Yeah, you. Yeah.
No.
Eric, too, Ray.
So it said that they – so this is coming from Kevin at Texas Pride Disposal. He says, we typically have a shred truck up at the community pool parking from 9 to noon, and then we send a crew through the district for any e-waste. So that's what – I need to get him on the phone and talk to him, because it sounds like they drive the entire neighborhood picking up e-waste curbside, which didn't sound like that's how they did it in the past.
No.
Okay. All right. I'll call Kevin tomorrow and talk to him and say that what my understanding is, and have him clarify, and then say we'd like something in writing for how, and I'll talk to Jay as well, to talk about items that will be recycled for free, items that will incur a cost, if they'll have a scale there so that we can control who's coming from within the neighborhood, outside the neighborhood, and that they'll drop off with CompuCycle, and then also talk to the HOA board about the men's club being there and out clauses for everything.
Yes.
Okay, we'll do.
All right. Let me know if you need any help. I'll be glad to assist. I'm working from home now and for the foreseeable future. So.
Yeah, me too. That's great.
Okay, thanks, Eric.
All right, that works.
All right, this district website. Eric, Adam, anything to bring to our attention?
I will add the website Eric mentioned, Surface Water Supply Project, ours. One issue we are having is the last recording of the meeting ended up being a really big file, much bigger than the first two. So we are working to split that, either compress it or split it into multiple files so that it can be uploaded to the website.
There's no way to do it up front, like when the recording is being made?
As far as I know, no. What Jane sent, I believe, was the raw file, which was an M4A file. It was too big. It was 32 megabytes or something like that, where the first files were 8 or 10 megabytes.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get that clear, because I'm sure, that's one of those state requirements that we have the transcript available on the website. So right. Let's get that on as soon as possible, or I'm sure other districts are having the same problem with their Zoom meetings and having recordings placed on their website.
I haven't seen one with a meeting even posted yet.
Okay.
If you have seen, so.
I don't mind being the first.
Right.
Maybe you just need a form for the person to fill out and request it. And you can send a link to it where they can get it.
Okay, well, let's pursue trying to get that uploaded, and if there are significant technical issues, then we'll have to punt at that time. Okay, anything else, Adam?
No, that should be it for the website.
Okay. Article for a DBCA newsletter, Barry, are you so inclined
yep.
to do that again?
Yep, I'll do it.
They have been excellent?
A little too lengthy maybe, but I'll try to cut them down a little bit.
Yeah, I would say try to knock about 20% off. Yeah. They have been a little long, but they've been excellent.
Well, I was notorious when I was a working man. My reports were always very lengthy. So I'll try to do my best to trim them down a little bit.
All right.
Is, okay. Is it too soon to throw the idea of smoke tests out there, or just as a one-liner that the district may be doing that? If it is, that's fine. I'm just saying.
I don't have a problem with it. You tell me.
I would rather tell people about, you know, I would just refer to it in general that we're going to be looking at the sewer system and that we're going to be doing some diagnostic testing. I would also maybe put something in about doing a fire hydrant rehab coming up because people will see a truck or trucks in the neighborhood, you know, doing that. So, I mean, I would just keep it nonspecific at this point, Brent. And then maybe as we go forward, we get a little bit more specific.
Yeah, that's fine. You know, at some point before they do it, we need to kind of warn people. We don't want them to
wrong
or something.
Yeah.
Okay, well, being that they're going to be providing us with additional information on smoke testing at the next meeting, maybe we'll play something in that newsletter.
Yeah. It might be better to wait till then. That's good.
All right.
Okay. All right. Agenda items for next meeting. I guess we'll come up with those during the course of the month if there are any additional. I guess the next meeting is a little bit later in August, the 13th. It'll be a little less than 5 weeks. All right. Anything else from anybody while we're still assembled? Thank you. I appreciate y'all coming tonight.
Be safe. Thank you.